While you're finding the Song of Solomon, let me say that after the worship service today, we're going to be taking a special offering. Let me tell you why. We've been trying to consider what our response as a church ought to be to those who are suffering in the Houston area because of the devastating flooding and all that's going on down there. And Becky has been in contact with some friends in Crosby who belong to a little Methodist church down there, and they have given us some ideas. They're putting together some of these, you know, like these 5-gallon buckets you get at Lowe's or Home Depot or whatever. They're putting together a thing called flood buckets. And they have a specific list of things that they're putting in those buckets that they know are going to be a tremendous help to those who receive it. And also, they have planned it out so that all these items fit perfectly inside the bucket so that you can put the lid on and then deliver it to them and so on and so forth. Becky, what's one of those buckets cost? About $65 a bucket. And so it's got really essential things in there. And so what we're going to do is we're going to take an offering. We may take several, but we're going to do one at the end of the service today. And we're going to use that money to go out and get these items and put together these buckets. And then at some point, we'll take them to Crosby and deliver them to the people who know where they need to go. I think we all, it could be us next time. And so I think we ought to do what we can to help our brothers and sisters to the south of us. So, as I said, I want you to find the Song of Solomon. We started a couple of weeks ago in a brand new series called A Future for the Family. Today we're going to talk about the music of marriage. Some of you are old enough to remember a man by the name of Christian Bernard. He was a heart surgeon, went to the University of Minnesota, where he spent years developing something called the aortic heart valve, and he became very famous when he was the one who performed the first successful heart transplant down in South Africa. He was in all the newspapers. He was on all the talk shows. He was a leader in his field. He was on the cutting edge. Later on, he wrote a book called One Life. And in that book, he told how he lost his home, how he lost his family. And I'm going to read an excerpt from that book. It was a bright Sunday morning when I drove out of Minneapolis. Seemed like a century since I first arrived there, a time longer than all the years before it. In New York, I put the car on a boat and caught a plane for Cape Town. A northwest wind was blowing, and we came over the waves close below. My wife was there with the kids. I'd not written much in the last 2 months, yet I was unprepared for her greeting. Why did you come home? There was no longer a smile in her eyes. Oh God, I thought, I've made the greatest mistake of my life. Don't look so surprised, she said. We gave you up. We decided you were never coming back. I replied, it was only a little delay. I wrote you April 1st. No, you wrote once saying you weren't coming home. We were building valves, aortic heart valves, I answered. No, you were building a family. That is, until you dumped it in my lap, she said bitterly. We've ceased to exist for you. I came home because I loved my children, and I thought I loved her, but now that all sounded so meaningless. It began to rain. The city was gray under a gray sky. It was winter in Cape Town, but in Minneapolis, the trees were bright green. How is it possible to lose a whole springtime? Now, that was written by a man who was absolutely successful in the eyes of the world, but in his own eyes, he was a failure. He gained the whole world, but lost his family. And when you listen to that story, you realize there was a lack of communication there. And marriage counselors tell us that in 80% of the cases of where there's marriage problems, it roots in communication. I've been doing this for close to 40 years. I'm not sure it's 100%. I'm calling this message the music of marriage because we're taking our text from the Song of Solomon. And it begins in verse 1 by saying, the Song of Songs, which is Solomon's. It's a love poem. It's two lovers communicating with each other. It's the music of marriage. Now, if you're married or if you're planning to get married, let me say this. You will either learn to communicate or your marriage will disintegrate. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. But then you get into New Testament, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. It says, for he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. If you want to see good days, you have to learn to control your speech. So many marriages are on the rocks today because of poor communication. A lady went to her lawyer one time. She says, my husband wants to divorce me. He said, does he have a grudge? She says, no, he's got a carport. He said, no, I didn't mean that. Does he have any grounds? She said, yeah, about 5 acres. He said, no, you still don't get it. I mean, what's the problem? He said, well, he says we can't communicate. I think he was right. Sometimes we run into problems before we get married. I heard about a guy who wrote his girlfriend a letter. He said, I remember proposing to you last night, but I can't remember whether you said yes or no. Could you help me out? And she said, I'm so grateful you wrote me this letter. I remember saying no to a proposal for marriage, but I can't remember to whom. There are 5 levels of communication. First of all, there's the frivolous level. And we communicate that way all day long. Sure is hot, isn't it? Beautiful day, isn't it? How about that game last night? And there's the factual level, where we speak like newscasters used to speak back when they gave facts on the evening news. Then there's the fellowship level. That's where we talk about our ideas, our judgments, our philosophies, and so on. And at that level, we begin to risk just a little bit because, you know, somebody may not agree with our judgments and theories and philosophies and all of that. And then beyond that is the feeling level. That's where we start to open up and tell how we really feel about those ideas and judgments and philosophies. And that's just about as far as most people ever get. But there is a step beyond that called the freedom level. And that's where we're completely open. We share our dreams. We share our fears. We don't fear rejection from any of it. The word intimacy comes from a word that means inmost. It's where you communicate on the inmost part. You share your dreams, your fears, your secrets, your failures, your aspirations. Things that you wouldn't share with anybody else except those that you are intimate with. And that's the secret of lasting love, communicating on the freedom level. When a couple come together in the act of marriage, the Bible uses a unique phrase. It says so-and-so knew his wife. Now, to be completely known and to still be loved, that's the supreme goal of marriage. We're talking about being intimate, but when we talk about intimacy today, people are thinking about physical intimacy, but physical intimacy is completely void without psychological and emotional intimacy. And God gave us a model for this kind of intimacy, and it's right here in the Song of Solomon. Now, we're going to listen to Solomon and a Shulamite girl, as they're talking to each other, and it's intimate speech. If you read the whole thing, you might blush to read some of it, but it's here by divine inspiration as a model for marriage. It's an illustration of how husbands and wives are supposed to talk to each other. And they praise one another, and they speak in terms of physical attraction, and they talk about affirmation. And I want us to see what God has given us here as a model for communication between husbands and wives. There are four things I want you to notice about their conversation. First of all, I want you to notice that their words are plentiful. They talk a lot. About 60% of the Song of Solomon are words that are spoken between these lovers. And it's obvious when you read it that, I mean, when they're separated, they miss the sound of each other's voice. They crave each other's speech. One is free to give without embarrassment. The other is free to receive without resentment. I thought it was kind of fun. Astronaut Michael Collins years ago came up with this observation. He said, in an average day, a man will speak about 25,000 words. In an average day, a woman will speak about 30,000 words. Problem is, when I get home from work, I've used all my 25,000 words up. She hadn't spoke a word of hers yet. It seems that the older our marriage gets, the colder it gets. And one of the reasons is this. Men are goal-oriented. Yeah, women wonder why he didn't talk to her like he did when they were dating. You know, he'd be at work and he'd dial her up on a break or something. They'd talk and talk and talk and talk. But when they get married, all of a sudden, the talking stops. A woman, she's not goal-oriented. She's security-oriented. She craves communication. But for him, he has achieved his goal of marriage, and so he's ready to move on to another goal. But she has this ever-deepening need to be affirmed. That's a built-in problem. So we need to make time to talk. Also, their words, they're not just plentiful, they're personal. I want you to see the talk between Solomon and this girl and see how intimate it is. If you look at chapter 5 and verse 2, I sleep, but my heart waketh. It is the voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying, open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled, for my head is filled with dew and my locks with the drops of the night. She calls him my beloved. And he has some pet names for her, too. He calls her my love or my dove. Do you have a pet name for your wife or your husband? Some way of saying you're special to me. Some word that you say, I don't use this word for anybody else. The Bible says that the wife is to commit herself to her own husband. Now, the word for own is the word idios in the Greek. It's the word we get idiosyncrasy from. It's also the word we get idiot from. But your husband needs to know that or your wife, depending on which way you're looking at it, your husband or your wife needs to know that they're special, that they're unique to you. So if your pet name for your husband or wife is sweetheart, don't call the waitress sweetheart. If it's honey, don't call the waitress honey. I mean, look, When you reserve that word for your mate, that's one of the ways of saying, this is my special name. You're special to me. In chapter 5, verse 10, it says, my beloved is white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000. In other words, she's saying he's number one in her life. Everybody male or female, needs to know that they're number one and that nobody can take their place. But there's a third thing about these two. Not only are their words plentiful and personal, their words are positive. If you read all the way through the book of Solomon, you're going to see that there's not one single word of criticism anywhere in this book. No criticism, no correction. And when chapter 5, verse 2 says, my undefiled, that literally means my flawless one. Now, obviously, she's human, so she's not flawless, but that's what he called her because he was affirming her. And then if you go back to chapter 1 and look at verses 9 through 11, he says, I have compared thee, O my love, to a company of horses in Pharaoh's chariots. Thy cheeks are comely with rows of jewels, thy neck with chains of gold. We will make thee borders of gold with studs of silver. Now skip down to verses 15 through 16. Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. Thou hast dove's eyes. Behold, thou art fair, my beloved. Yea, pleasant also. Our bed is green. Now look at chapter 6 and verse 5. Thy hair is like a flock of goats. Romantic rascal, isn't he? I don't know if that line is going to work very good for you today. But you say, why can't I talk like that? Well, I doubt if Solomon just did it without practice, you know. He had to spend a little time on it. But I want you to see how positive these words are. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 6, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. Now think about that. What does salt do? It adds flavor to food. Grace adds flavor to speech. Salt's also a preservative. Speech with grace will preserve a marriage. Grace is not giving somebody what they deserve. Grace is giving somebody what they need. You say, well, my wife or my husband doesn't deserve that kind of speech. Well, that's all the more reason to give it to them because they need it. Grace is to speech what color is to art. Let your speech always be positive, not negative. One of the keys to intimacy is acceptance. If you're critical and if you're negative, that's a sign you haven't accepted the other person. You know why we can't be intimate? It's because we're afraid to expose ourselves. We're afraid to expose ourselves because we're afraid we'll get criticized. Out of acceptance grows trust. Out of trust comes intimacy. And intimacy can only grow in a place where there is safety. Praise, like we're seeing it here, will transform a marriage. Look at Song of Solomon, chapter 5, verse 16. His mouth is most sweet. She's talking about his words. Let your words be positive and not negative. And when you're positive, you'll be surprised to find how your communication begins to flow. And when you're negative, the other person's going to suffer the trauma of transparency, and they're going to begin to withdraw. Next, their words are passionate. In chapter 2, verses 8 through 14, the voice of my beloved, behold, he cometh leaping upon the mountain, skipping upon the hills. My beloved is like a roe or a young hart. Behold, he standeth behind our wall. He looketh forth at the window, showing himself through the lattice. My beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone, the flowers appear on the earth, the time of the singing birds is come, and the voice of the turtles heard in our land. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grape give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away, O my dove, that art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs. Let me see thy countenance. Let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. Words of love may flow out of feelings, but not always. Most of the time, it's feelings that flow out of words. Don't deny it until you try it. Your words will sustain your marriage. Your words can repair hurt feelings, and your words can grow love, or they can do all the opposite of those things. Their words are plentiful, their words are personal, their words are positive, their words are passionate. And this is the goal that God has given in regards to communication between husbands and wives. It isn't easy. In order to do this, you have to adjust, and quite frankly, in most cases, it's the husband who has to do the most adjusting. In counseling, I always, almost always see that it's the husband is the one who doesn't want to talk. She craves communication. Sometimes a woman will even push her husband into a corner just to get him to talk, and she keeps coming and coming and coming and coming until pow! He just explodes. He thinks, I've had enough. And she thinks, now I've got him where I want him. See, she may not think all this out subliminally, but she'd rather have an argument than to be ignored. She wants communication. Men just don't want to talk. Have you ever noticed how many books, you go to Mardell's or Lifeway or wherever, how many books there are on marriage and on intimacy and on communication? There's just one problem. Men don't read those books. There has to be an adjustment. There's so many barriers that keep us mule-headed men from communication. Ladies, here's something you need to know. Your husband is not like you, and he's never going to be. Just get that down. You need to accept that. And talking about these books, most of those books on intimacy and the like, those are written by women. You know, if you look at the women's magazines, you know, 5 ways to have harmony in your marriage, achieving intimacy with your lover, all these different kinds of articles. What are the men's magazines about? How to remodel your garage, how to double your gas mileage, how to clean your gun, how to get the best value out of the stock market. Folks, that just illustrates, I mean, it's slapping you right in the face, the difference between men and women. You've got this ignorant bunch today trying to say that men and women are the same. They aren't the same. They never have been the same. They never will be the same. They're equal. They're not the same. There are background differences as well. Boys are taught not to show their emotions. Don't cry, son. Big boys don't cry. How many times have you heard that? We're taught that it's a sign of weakness if you do. Men have to adjust. Men will tell you it hurts. And women, you shouldn't be too hard on them. You're weird too. You just need to understand his feelings. He needs to try to understand hers. But we need to work on this thing called intimacy in marriage. And I'll tell you why. It gives incredible freedom, and it's worth it. You're never going to arrive at perfection, but you need to make a start if you ever hope to have a happy home. So the question today is, are you willing to make the kind of start you need to make in order to achieve that goal? Are you willing to make some of those adjustments? Well, I hope you are. And I realize we're cutting this a little short, but we got a big day today. But we're not done with this service yet. Listen, our musicians are going to come. We're going to have a time of invitation. Maybe it's a time for you to come to the altar. Maybe it's a time to pray. Maybe it's a time to make a commitment to do whatever kind of adjusting is necessary to bring that kind of intimacy and communication within your marriage that's going to make it whole. What are we going to sing, Gary?
349.
349 is our number. I want you to stand and all I ask you to do this morning is whatever the Holy Spirit's prompting you in your heart to do, just be obedient to it. That's all I ever ask at the time of invitation. Just be obedient to that still small voice and do whatever the Lord's asking you to do. And do it now as we sing. You really mean that? Can the Lord have His own way? Take up an offering here in a moment for the flood victims. And remember, we've got a church-wide picnic at Joe Pool Lake after church today. So we want you to come and be a part of the fun and fellowship that we're going to have there. And we're going to have a baptism in the lake. So you want to come and be a part of that as well. And so, Gary, I'm going to turn over to you or Craig or whoever needs to take.
Okay, Kim's got an answer.
Good morning, everybody. Y'all can sit down. As you've probably seen in your bulletin, next Saturday is the Beth Moore event, and it's going to be awesome. And if you haven't already signed up, please do. So we're trying to get the final head count for the food. It's $10 to come. That covers your food, and hopefully we'll cover the cost of the simulcast. We've got several people from North Arlington coming, or North Texas coming from all over. Fort Worth and Mesquite, different places. So it's going to be an awesome event. We hope that you will join us. It's going to be all day long, and it's kind of like the youth camp was for the youth. It's what it'll be for us women. It'll be kind of like our youth camp where we're totally immersed and just fellowship with others. It's simulcast across the world, so it's not only fellowship with the people that will be here on that day, but people across the world will be worshiping our Lord together. There's several that have volunteered to help with the event, and we have ordered shirts for those people. That's these. In a few weeks, we'll be opening up to order these for the whole church, but we had to do this quickly so that we could get it for the event for people to wear so that we would be recognized and when the other people that are coming from all across the North Texas region, they will know who to contact to find out, you know, if they have any questions. So if you ordered a shirt, they're in the fellowship hall. If you haven't paid me, please pay me. They're $20 a piece. And if you want to order one here in a few weeks, we'll be opening that up for the rest of the church. If you have any questions, come see me. And I think that's all. I think Craig has some more stuff. So thank you, guys.
If you'd like shirts, that's all I said. Because you were wanting shirts. Okay, so today, guys, church-wide picnic. Following church It starts at noon, but we already have that pavilion rented out. But it's Pavilion H. There was a little handout out there. Food, just bring a lunch for your family. If you want to bring, you know, a large dish to share and stuff like that, it's all's accepted, but bring food and drinks for your family. Seating, although we have the picnic pavilion reserved, there may not be enough seating for everyone. Therefore, please bring lawn chairs if you have them. We're next to the softball field. Due to the flood damage, though, the closest bathrooms are damaged, but they have been temporarily placed with some porta potties. So you guys know how those are. Use the bathroom before you come, if you feel that way. volunteers, guys, we need your help. There's a small handout. We need teachers from ages 4 to 3rd grade during traditional service, teaching Sunday school lessons to children of the Spanish congregation and Wednesday nights. And maintenance. We're looking for a volunteer with a weekly work list, kind of do some repairs around here, handyman type stuff. You know, we had a guy, Joe, used to. You guys don't really realize how much Joe does around here, even when he comes back. He's out still doing stuff around here. But we've kind of, you know, he's retired and he's traveling a lot, so he's not here all the time. So we really need somebody to help us out with those situations. And thank you so much, Joe, for everything you do around here. Even he comes back and all of a sudden stuff starts getting fixed. So, all right. So, you know about the women's stuff, blah, blah, blah. Men's fish fry. That's what I'm talking about. It's coming up October 3rd. I know we're already talking about getting the van. We meet here at 4:30. It's on a Tuesday. We drive down there, have fish, cut up on each other. It's lots of fun. And I believe that is it for today. I'm going to call some of my youth guys up here, and we're going to go ahead and pray for that special offering and go ahead and take it. So let's pray. Dear most gracious Heavenly Father, you know, we didn't have a hurricane here in the Arlington area, but it is Texas. Father, in the destruction and things that happen, you tell us to reach out in situations like this and show who Christ is. So we've looked and we found, and we believe that this is the best way we can do that, by getting the supplies that they need to the people who need them. Father, so we're going to take up a special offering today. Just, you know, I just ask that you're in each one of our hearts, so we know just what to do, how to do it. Father, for the volunteers, it's going to put the buckets together, for the ones that's going to drive it down there. But most importantly, that each person that receives one of these buckets knows that there was prayer over it. Father, that we did this out of love, and we're just taking care of just humanity. You know, trying to reach out through you. Father, and we ask all this in your Son's heavenly precious name we pray. Amen.
One October the 8th, we're going to start choir practice for Christmas, so be thinking about that. Let's stand and we will dismiss.
We are one in the bond of love. We are one in the bond of love. We have joined our spirits with the Spirit of God. We are one in the bond of love. Let us sing now, everyone. Let us feel His love begun. Let us join our hands so the world will know we are one in the bond of love.
See you at the picnic.